when I, in awesome wonder, consider all the world thy hands have made. I see the stars and I hear the rolling thunder. Thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. When Christ shall come with shouts of acclamation, or to take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I will bow in humble and there proclaim, oh my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art, how
good morning, everybody. Good morning on this Monday morning. What an awesome day to be with you guys.
This morning, I want us to take a few minutes to pray in the Spirit, because we need to get in the habit of doing this more. And I do want to tell you guys that although we are waiting until January to start Bible college, you're already in Bible college. You're in boot camp on these daily prayer calls. If you choose to discipline yourself and get up and be a part of this, this is part of boot camp. Because we're strengthening our inner man. We are putting God first. So I want us, let me get some worship music with Daffy Keys here. And we're going to take a few minutes and pray in the Spirit. And let our spirit man rise. Here we go.
Oh, la 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 Praise you, Jesus. You are worthy, Lord. You are worthy. You are worthy. Glory, hallelujah, glory, hallelujah, glory, hallelujah. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Have you worthy, Lord? Isn't he worthy this morning? This morning, I surrender. We surrender all this morning, Lord. I surrender all. Lord, you're worthy. We surrender all. The Lord is good and his mercy endures forever. Amen, bride. Amen. We're building our spiritual muscle when we gather together and we pray in tongues first thing in the morning. You know, when I was in Bible college, we used to have to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning and be at the Bible college. That was a requirement. We had to get up and we had to learn how to put God first thing in the morning. There was a lot, you know, I'm sure Bible colleges are different now, but there was a lot back then to what it meant to go to Bible college. And it's totally different than what you think it is. Everybody think, oh, it's just so they can push that propaganda down your throat. That ain't what it was, at least the ones I went to. You know, they were all about cleaning. You know, they would, you know, this is Rob Parsley's. He would have a special guest come in and they would preach about whatever God would give them. But it's always healing, you know, like he would say, because all the people that went to Bible college were just average everyday people that said yes. That's all it is to it, you know, and they all had issues, which is why they was there. So they'd say, if you have a problem with pornography, run down here. Boy, half the students would run down there, you know, because everybody had something
that they had to get healed and delivered of in order. And that was the whole purpose of Bible college, was to humble yourself before the leaders there and allow God to use them to help you get into position. You know, people went there that had been in ministry a long time, you know, but when you go through Bible college, you humble yourself. You know, you do what they say. You don't buck them. You don't speak against their decisions. You just humble yourself and you receive. You're there to receive, you know. And they would do all kinds of stuff to rub your nerves wrong, you know. You'd have to get up and, you know, go down there for prayer. And then you were required to go out and evangelize and to do it the way they said to do it. You know, you just, number one thing is you have to understand to put all of your expectations aside and be willing to be taught. You know, I encourage you in that, all of you guys. Have a humbleness in the heart, you know, for servanthood. That's what ministry is. You'll never be a good leader till you learn to be a great follower, you know. So we're going to wait until January to kick that off. Dennis is the one that made that decision. The other night we went to dinner and we talked about the ministry and where we're at and all the things we have to do on the farm to get ready for Bible college. So he made the decision for my health, you know, and for my, you know, sanity or whatever, that I needed to rest. I've been out there, you know, in the fields plowing the harvest, you know, since 2013, and I need some time to I need to be healed, you know. I need to be spending time with God and letting Him heal me for my next mission, which is the Bible college and which is, you know, training the church and everything. But for the rest of the year, you know, I'll be doing just the Bible colleges, church, Bible studies and stuff like that, you know, digging in the Word. And I have some good news for you. Do you know that the Lord has been giving me and Dennis dreams about every day? The anointing has increased in our family and here on the farm ever since this last 3-day fast. I mean, those 3-day fasts are amazing. They really are. And the Lord gave Dennis a dream last night. I'm not going to share it because that's his place to share it. But he gave me one because I've been saying, Lord, you know, I've got to say bye, you know, to these people on YouTube that I love very much, that I have plowed it down, you know, for 5 years now, telling them, you know, all the things going on and, you know, searching the internet and, you know, exposing what's happening out there and whatnot. And now I've got to say bye. So how do I do this, Lord? So he gave me a dream last night and he told me how to do it. And I woke up at 1:00 in the morning with the exact plan. And I cannot tell you because it is a surprise. And I will explain it all tomorrow night on the Goodbye Show. And it will be deleted right after because of what I address in here. It's going to have to be deleted immediately. So I'm really thankful that the Lord is leading and guiding us on how to do this, because I really believe that for the rest of our mission here in the earth, we're going to have to be led by the day, by the Spirit. Because we don't know how to navigate these times. You know, God tells us, board up your house. We don't know why we're boarding the house. You know, He tells you, pull out of YouTube. We don't know why we're doing this. You know, especially now that fiber is here. I've got fiber on my street being installed now. I am going to get it in the office, but not in the house. But this would be the time to be able to rock it on YouTube. You know, I'd have the best internet ever, you know. But I have to obey the Lord. But I am going to rock it out on band. I really encourage you guys to get on band, because I can live stream, and I plan on going back to doing a lot of live streaming, but it will be seeking the Lord and not the beast. Okay, so anyway, that fiber internet should be here within the next few weeks, and I'm excited about it. You know, just to be able to have crystal clear quality and stuff on videos. But anyway, what was I saying? Denise, what was I saying? I was saying something and I totally lost it. Okay. Well, let me tell you this. Yesterday at church, I'll tell you what. If you have not listened to Pastor's sermon yesterday, I think you'll be very impressed, because his anointing gets, I think it gets better every week. You know, his birthday was last week, and I wrote in his birthday card, I said, "You are the best pastor I've ever had," because I see how he is with God and how humble he is. And, you know, I'm excited to receive that fresh manna from him every week. I don't, you know, when he preaches, I don't know what he's going to preach. But we have a really cool system going now, because he's over at the house, which he's fixing to move into the, y'all know that building that I call the she shed, which is next to the house. The little white building we lived in when we first moved here while we was having to build this house, you know, remodel it because it was, had fell down and everything. We are moving his office in there. So we have my office over here in the blue building, and then he will have his office over there. And he needs it, because he has a whole, you know, bookshelf full of books. You know, he's a man of the word. And he has all these different concordances and all this stuff, you know. And then he's a health man. So he is, you know, got all of these tinctures he makes. Like, he makes silver, so he has a silver machine. And then he makes, I want to say, it's not kombucha, but it's some type of drink. It's a health drink that has all these antioxidants and all this stuff in it. But he makes it all from scratch. So he's got all these bottles and all this stuff. So all of that's going in that shed. He's going to have a whole new world out there. And free up my kitchen, hallelujah. Plus, you know, he makes like his garlics and all that kind of stuff. He makes the coolest garlic, where you make it in this little rice cooker for 10 days and it turns real sweet. It's pretty cool. But so anyway, so he's moving out there, and then we'll have it set up on Sunday mornings, you know, where he can be at his desk. And he can be teaching there, and then I will be over here in my office, and we're, you know, connected together. It just works out so perfect. And then he can do what he does, and then I can do what I do type of deal. And then I can have the living room, you know, for guests and whatnot. So if I really suggest that you listen to the church, because he preached such a powerful sermon. And it is uploaded on our website. It's GOEM.US. I will put it here in the chat. GOEM.US, which means Garden of Eden Ministries.US. And we also have, now all of his sermons and all of my normal Bible studies will all be on the site and will be public for the public. you know, I have no problem with that. But when I get political, like in these morning, Bible studies that I told you guys, I really just want to be myself. And if I see something like a warning, you know, I want to be able to tell you guys in here, these are all private. All of my dreams having to do with, you know, the beast, really whatever God shows me in my dreams, all of these will be private to you guys because I do not want the world seeing them. I'm not going to cast my pearls before the swine, you know. So there is a password, you know, which is listed and banned, for you guys. Now the key to using that password is it has to be all lowercase and you have to make sure there's no space at the end. You have to, you know, make sure you back up to the end of it so that it does not think that it's another character, but it is a password based, program type of deal. Okay. Now, I want to, here's a warning I have politically right now. Okay. There's something I saw yesterday, and I may address this tomorrow night, but I may not because I may just do a news show today, but I doubt it because I got to get that video ready for tomorrow night. But there is something that I noticed last night that's pretty disturbing that's happening. Is the false church, to you that are new, that are on here, you know, that are not used to how I do things, there is a sect of, I don't even know if you want to say Christianity, but it is Christianity, is called NAR. It's the New Apostolic Reformation. And it's a branch off of the Catholic Church. And what it is they are a deceptive group of leaders that have taken over the media. You know, they're the big ones that have millions of followers. And this is the reason they're big is because of their connection to the beast. This is just my opinion. But they are the New Apostolic Reformation. And what that means, because I've written books about this, so I'm telling you my professional opinion. Not trying to sound, you know, haughty or anything, but apostolic is from the Catholic Church. Hold on. Okay. You know how they'll talk about, you know, the Apostle Peter and they believe the Pope is from Peter and all that kind of stuff. Well, it's kind of like that. It's apostolic in nature in that they have an order of the way they do things. Like, nothing is written. There's not a written manual that tell these people how to be NAR. It is an understood. And I this is how I came up. So I went to two Bible colleges, so I understand their doctrine. What it is they have an understanding that, okay, everybody has to come under an apostle in this worldview. And you have to pay them tithes, and you have to, like, pay your allegiance. You can never speak against them, and you can never go against them. You have to serve one person, you know. So it's kind of like the way, what I call the, what is that called? I had a name for it, but I can't think of it right now. But it's where a lot of churches, you know, they want you to sit in a church and serve one pastor the rest of your life. They never tell you, hey, what about you? You know, you have a calling too. What are you called to do? Which is what I want to help you do, is to learn what your calling is and send you forth. I mean, everybody has a calling, you know. But they want people to think that you are to serve their vision, give them all your money, and you're to just do nothing. You're stuck there, you know. The Reformation is where they are deceiving mankind, and they are reforming Christianity to this Judeo-Christian worldview. I am going to address this professionally tomorrow night. This Judeo-Christian devil, because it goes against real Christianity. Because the Bible talks about Jews that say they are Jews and are not in this hour. And what they're doing is they are doing away with Christianity, and they are doing these Noahide laws in the name of Judaism. But it's not real Judaism. It's a false lie of the devil, that is taking over the world. And this is where President Trump is. So I will be addressing that tomorrow night. But the Reformation is that all of these leaders are in this. And they all believe that there is two covenants. There is not one covenant where Jesus is the only way to heaven. If you believe that, you cannot be Judeo-Christian. And this is where people like me that are Christian, not Judeo-Christian, is going underground. This is why. Because, see, they have partnered with the Antichrist, and they are going forward into this golden age, which is a very dangerous, deceptive thing that's going to end up killing the real church. See, the real church is about to be martyred, and they will be the ones doing it. I wrote about this in my first book of expose called The American Expose from back in 2020 when I first got out of the White House. And I talked about how it will be our, quote, brothers and sisters that will be killing us. They will be doing it in the name of God. And last night, this is what I was telling you. So last night I saw these people, these heads of NAR, and they did a conference, like what I'm going to do tomorrow night, where I'm calling it a State of the Church address. It's kind of like what they kind of did it last night. But theirs was to denounce people. They got together as this Council of 13 that I've told you how they do this. Let me back up before I tell you that. They meet every November, the 1st of November, for a summit. And they all get together, all these big prophets. And they all decide what is going to be the word of the Lord for the next year. Okay, so then they come up with this basic terminology, like say they come up with just two paragraphs of what they see coming. Okay, we see judgment here, we see this happening. So they have like these bullet points. Well, then all of these prophets, so-called prophets, go out and they all speak a word around that bullet points. But because people hear this from all these major prophets, they think it's all true and this is the word of the Lord. Y'all hear what I'm saying? I've figured this out over the years. So what has happened is you've had a few of these people go rogue and they're given their own type of words or whatever. And so they addressed it last night and went public and said, we rebuke these people. You know. So I'm going to have to address this on video so I can counter it, because it is such a farce what they're doing these days. And you just wait till you hear my speech tomorrow night. I'm actually addressing what these people did, because I was the first, a firsthand witness to the ending of our country. So I'm addressing it tomorrow. And I'm talking about what these preachers did. These NAR preachers, I'm going to expose it one more time. You know, they were the ones that pushed people into the V. They were the ones partnering with President Trump and the Operation Warp Speed, which was nothing but the Department of Defense. And now in the end, He's bringing in Elon, the most Satanist man there is, to come in, who's partnered with the Department of Defense. I mean, you just can't make this stuff up, you know. But anyway, so these NAR preachers are exposing these people who are falsely, you know, giving these words. And guess who it is? It's people speaking against President Trump. No, you don't say. You got these NAR false prophets over here rebuking people speaking against President Trump. You can't make this up. So anyways, I may address this later. I may wait till tomorrow night, but because I've got to get this speech ready. It's the most important speech in my life is what I'm giving tomorrow night. So I consider this one more important than what I did at the White House last year. So because of who will be listening, I will have Jews on there. I will have the White House on there. And I will have the false prophets. I'll have people of all spectrums listening. So, and this is why YouTube, I've got to be, you know, y'all, I need you guys to pray for me because of how they're right on top of me. You know, I told you they just gave me a strike the other day for a video I didn't even publish, you know. I mean, they gave me a strike a month ago for a video that wasn't even there. You know, it's just AI is taking over. But anyway, so these NAR people are warning against these people that are speaking against Trump, and they're telling everybody what a farce they are. And then I'm looking at half of them on there, and they've got droopy faces. And I'm thinking, what a sad sight. It's so sad. You know, because these people fell for the V, they fell for this power, turned around, took the V, and now their faces are drooping, which is a sign, you know, that that they took this thing or whatever. But anyways, it is what it is. So y'all pray for me on that. I would appreciate it. Let's see, what else? I guess that's about it as far as things that I want to tell you. So, I had somebody ask me to continue Patreon until the first of the year. If I do, I will not go past the first of the year. Because I'm shutting all of this down in at the end of the year, you know, because it's the end of my cycle. So then I will, you know, report it to the government that I'm shutting both of them down, which is We Are the Bride and Treehouse. So I may keep it open till then just so I can have a way to share articles that you need to know for the rest of the year. So if I do, I don't want you to get mad at me, but I'm not doing the news as far as like what I'll be doing tomorrow night, a professional deal. But I guess that's about it. I do have some scripture I'd like for us to study this morning. If y'all would turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 4. Now, the word of the Lord this morning to all of us is that there is a time of rest, and in the midst of the storm, when we have the wolf growling at our door, and we have the storm raging outside, and we see that they're setting up the guillotines, they're setting up the gallows, you know, kind of like a Haman deal, and we see all these things that we know that they are plotting and planning against us, okay? To the church and to God's beautiful bride, you know, there is a place of rest. There is a table in the middle of the desert, you know. You know, when you have a relationship with the Lord to where you understand His voice, you can have the beast screaming at you in the face. You can have all of this trauma happening right in front of your face, and you can be sitting at a table with Him. You can have peace beyond understanding. I told you guys about my children's father and how abusive he was, and how the last night that we was together, he was telling me how he was going to kill us. But see, the Lord had already set me free after all the years of abuse. I finally got set free by the Lord from a church I visited. And this pastor said, he stopped his sermon. And I had been praying for 5 years. You know, I had 3 kids by him. You know, what am I going to do, Lord? Because the preachers were telling me, you can't leave this man. You know, I don't care how abusive he is, you cannot leave him. It's unbiblical. So I had to stay and put up with this. So I was praying, God, help me. God, help me help my kids, you know. And so I finally got my answer. And what happened was, is I visited this church in Nashville, and this man stopped his preaching. And he goes, I don't know who this is for, but if you don't leave your husband, he's going to kill you. And then he went right back to his sermon. So the Lord spoke to me, and he said, you can leave now. And he said, I have set you free of that man. And when he said that, I wanted to jump up and down and scream, because I'm free, I'm free, I'm free at last. You know, you know. And I was just, oh, so thankful that God finally set me free. So I was praying in tongues all the way home. And, you know, my kids knew, you know, because they was all under the age of 5, that when mama got to speaking in tongues, you sit there and be quiet because I'm in war. So I'm sitting there, boy, and I'm beating on the steering wheel, and I'm speaking in. I'm fighting some spirits. I didn't know what it was. But I knew that I was in a warfare like no other, boy. And I was like, you know, rah, and, you know, I'm doing this battle all the way home. It's about a 30-minute drive. So I get home, and there he is, sitting on the couch, the devil himself. I mean, he was going to kill us that night. He had it set in his mind he was going to do it. So I put the kids to bed, and I knew what he was going to do, boy. So I prayed in tongues on the way back up the hall, and I sat across the room, and he started in on me, and I was like, you know, he'd put me down all the time, and I'd say, well, praise the Lord. And that made him mad because he didn't wear me down this time. But in my mind, and this is the only reason I'm telling you this, I was free and free indeed. You can have his body. You can do what you want with this body, but my Jesus has set me free. I'm no longer here, is the way I felt about it. So everything he said rolled off me like water on a duck's back, you know. He would say, I'd say, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. So he got all mad after about 2 hours, you know, and he got up and he said, let's go to bed. I said, nope, I'm not sleeping with you no more. So he threw me on the couch and we went at it. I fought him back for the first time. But other times I wouldn't fight him back because he's a real big, you know, football guy. I was a cheerleader. And so we had it out, boy. I was hitting him in the back and he was hitting me in the front. Well, when we got done, he told me, he said, I'm going to go get that shotgun. I'm going to blow all your heads off tonight while you're sleeping. So I rolled over and had a flashback of my childhood and my father. My father said that to my mother, and he really tried to do it. He was chasing her through the house with a knife, trying to kill her in a drunken rage. But see, my husband, you know, he never was drunk. He was just mean. So I rolled over, and I realized, oh, my gosh, you done married somebody just like your father. And so I said, Lord, I need some angels here. Please help me. So God held that man back from doing it, but I know that me praying in tongues from the time I left that church till I got home is what saved me and them kids. I know it. And so the next morning, you know, I went to go see a judge, and I told him, I finally told somebody what was happening in that house beside the pastor. And the judge, you know, he took me and the kids out of school, and he, you know, arrested him and told him he's going to put him in prison if he don't divorce me. So he divorced me. But the only reason that I was telling you that is, you can be sitting there looking at the devil and you can be with Jesus. You can be having a conversation with Jesus and have joy in your spirit in the midst of hell is what I'm trying to tell you. And that is what we're going to talk about this morning, about rest. Because we have to know that we're not of this world. They can have our bodies. Our bodies are already, they already are here for a purpose, and therefore the glory of God. We are the vessels of the living God. And our bodies are here to give glory to God. And it's up to Him in what he's going to do with it. Do y'all hear what I'm saying? So whatever His will is what's going to go forth, because it's His body and you do what you want to do with it. Okay. But my choice in the matter is I want to sit with you. I want to worship you, Lord. I want to see your face. When all this is going down, I want to know you more, and I want to be with you. So whatever is happening out here, and the wolf is raging and the wind is blowing, it's going to happen regardless. But our choice is that we want to be with you. We want to sup with you. We want to rest with you, you know. We want to know you more and love you more, Lord. So we're going to look at this in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1. Let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering into His rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. God, please don't let us come short of your rest, Lord. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard us. First of all, I have been screaming from the mountaintop since 2017. When I got out there and I traveled this country, 36 states, 18,000 miles. When I prayed along the entire border of the country, which I am going to talk about this tomorrow night. And I began to see what NAR was. I didn't know it had a name, but I began to see the corruption that was in the church when I got out there and visited all these hundreds of churches out here. And I started seeing the sickness. And it's because of mixing. They were bringing in New Age stuff into the house of God. They were bringing in fornication and adultery and, you know, just mixing with the world, you know. And that is what taints. It corrupts. So when it says, not mixed with faith in them that heard it. Because we cannot mix. We have to be 100% solid. In verse 3. For we which have believed do enter into rest. As He said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. In other words, it's already done. God's already wrote all this down. It's all going to happen. God already knows it. And it's all set since the foundation of the world. This is the thing that we as a church and as a body have to come into agreement with heaven about. Is this the will of the Lord be done? Lord, you already said, you know, that the church is going to be handed over to the beast. All we ask, Lord, is that you be with us through this process, that you help us to glorify your name. Because we're all about to be glorified. You know, that's what being glorified is when your body is up and you're in persecution, is glorifying God, because it's a testimony to who Jesus is. For He spoke in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest. on the seventh day from all his works. The Lord just spoke to me. I have been 7 years as a White House correspondent, and now I'm entering his rest. Wow. Because that's what I'm doing until January, is I'm resting from my, you know, my work and travail I've done ever since 2013, 12 years officially, 12 years of ministry, but 7 of it as a White House correspondent. You can't make this up. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest, seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached enter not in because of unbelief. Ouch. 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 Did you know that it takes faith to rest? Why does it take faith? Because we have to trust that Jesus is in control. You know, a lot of times we want to be busy, 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 because we want our hands on it, our arm of the flesh. But resting is taking that arm off and trusting. All right, Lord, I'm going to ride out this storm. I am going to trust you, Lord. I'm not going to try to pull myself out of this storm. I'm not going to try to finagle myself to ease myself. I am taking my hand off, Lord, and I'm going to trust you while the winds are raging, while the beast is blowing. Help me, Jesus, you know, because you are the one in charge of this temple. Number one, and this is a fact, no one is going to kill you unless God says so. If God does not want you killed right now, you will not be killed. You will be transformed, translated, something. You know, you can walk through walls. He may move you to another city and just translate you instantly to another city. He's done it before. He's still the God of miracles. He can make you invisible, just like Alma said in her dream. Said, did the snake come in her house? Remember that dream? And said it was rolling through her house and it didn't see her because she was invisible to the beast. God can do anything he wants. They can come to your door and you be standing there and not see you. They can scan your house and not even see you on the scanner. If God does not, if it's not your time, it's not your time. Do y'all hear what I'm saying? But when your time comes, rest. All right, Lord, it's me and you, Jesus. You've chosen. This is my time. It is what it is. The will of the Lord be done. All I ask, Lord, is that you use me for your glory in the most maximum way that there is. I want to go out of here in a bang. I don't want to go out of here in fear, you know, and I know you don't either. We don't want to go out of here being scared to death. We want God to supernaturally, we know we can't do this on our own for sure. It's way over our pay grade. It's way over our head. But in the grace of God, we really, that's what grace is. We can do anything that God calls us to, anything. So with his grace, we can rest in the midst of the storm. But we do not want to do like verse 6, where we cannot enter in because of unbelief. Lord, help our unbelief. We want to believe you, God, for the most craziest miracles, the wildest things. Verse 7, again, he limits a certain day, saying in David, today after so long a time, as it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Boy, that's a big one. Let's don't harden our hearts in these last days through unforgiveness and bitterness. That's what hardens hearts. When you are deceptive, manipulative, sneaky, and all that kind of stuff, your heart is hard. Come out of that. That's all witchcraft. Come out of that. God has better for you. You know, let all that stuff go. You know, be transparent. Let God use you mightily. And humble yourself, you know, before a mighty God. Don't harden your hearts, because that's what the beast wants, is to harden the heart. And, you know, another way that will harden heart is knowledge. Because the Bible says that knowledge puffs up. And I know that in our truth or community, you know, we're really bad about, you know, search. Learn, you know. But the days of that is gone. I keep saying it, but you're going to do what you're going to do. But the days of searching and all of that stuff is gone. You cannot eat the bones and spit out, you know, eat the meat and spit out the bones and all that the way you used to. You just can't. Because it is so corrupted out there now. It is so deceptive. You're going to get swept back in. You know, just, you know, you already know what's coming. You already know. Now, let's seek the one who has the answer to it. Dig in his word. If we only search the word of God the way we do the web, the beast, the world wide web, the spider web, if we would take that energy that we have put in searching in there and put it in the word of God and say, God, show me your mysteries. Show me who you are, Lord. Show me your word. I want to know you, Lord. But searching the internet and doing the way that we did, that'll harden your heart, because knowledge puffs up. It makes you prideful. You think you know everything and yada yada, you know. For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? Wow. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. I speak rest to all of you in your spirits today. There's a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works, as God did from his. And that's what God is telling me to do. Stop all your working. You know, stop it, shut it down, and get back in here with me. Get back in this prayer closet. Let me spend some time with you. And that's what I'm going to do next week. You know, is I'm going to focus on being in the woods. You know, so there will be no prayer calls. Now, if y'all want to call in every morning, y'all can, it's open. Y'all can call in and talk to each other and pray for one another every single day if you want. It will be open, but for me, I'm shutting down and I'm going to be in the woods. And because ever since I was a little girl, after I tried to kill myself when I was 8 years old, I got saved when I was 9, and I went down in the woods, and that's how I found the Lord. I got saved through Billy Graham, and then I found this stick and made it like a Moses rod, and I would walk down in the woods and sit by the creek, and that's how I got to know his voice. And to this day, you know, 40-something years later, I'm still listening to that still small voice. You know, but that's how I've learned, you know, to understand when it is when he talks, you know, and how to talk to him. But he's calling us back into rest, bride. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after same example of unbelief. We don't want to fall through unbelief. We want to be strengthened in our faith. And this is what God is saying right now. Just enter into my rest. You know, get your mind out of the beast. center in on me and focus in the Word of God and in prayer. And let me reveal to you who I am and what my plans are. You know, what do I want to do with you? Every one of you are special to the Lord. Every one of you, He has thought about you since before time began. And He sat down and He thought very meticulously about what He wanted to use you for. Now, see, every one of you have a purpose and a destiny. And it was written before time began. It went kind of like this. You know, you have, oh God, the Father. And then you have Jesus sitting there and you have the Holy Spirit. Like, they're just three separate entities sitting there talking. And they're like, all right, let's take Denise. Let's take Denise. And Denise, where are you from? Minnesota, let me see here. Not Minnesota, but... Denise, are you from Minnesota? Well, she's Minnesota or Montana one, but now here's Denise. I want to say Minnesota. And those three sat down. They said, listen here, let's talk about this Denise woman. You know, there's going to come a point when Denise is going to say, Lord, just use me ever how you want me to. And this is what we want to reveal to the world about us through Denise. What is going to be her expression of heaven? Well, I think we'd like to, you know, use her as an evangelist. You know, we'd like to show the world that, you know, how to... talk to people. We're going to use her as an example of how to talk to people out, you know, to bikers and stuff. So we're going to use her in an evangelistic anointing. All right, and then you got Dee from New York. You know, they sat down, they thought, we want this woman to live in New York. We just want her to have that accent. New York! And we want her to just, you know, have this prophetic word, you know, where she can, where we will speak to her and she will go speak to people. And she will be just like a beautiful little flower, you know, when she warns people that they will love it at the same time. And then, hey, what about Ardina and Bruce in Canada? You know. They just sat down, you know, and they were sitting there thinking, you know, let's talk about Ardina a minute. You know, Ardina, we just want her to have the sweetest spirit. You know, we want her to just have so much compassion for mankind. Why don't we just let her reveal what is compassion? You know, and then what about Bruce? You know, well, what if we just reveal, you know, that what love is from a father? What is a fatherly love? You know, and let's let Bruce, you know, reveal that to mankind. What about Deborah in New Jersey? Oh, wow, this woman, our little dancing bird. Why don't we make Deborah, you know, where she just dances like a little flower. And she just twirls around and buds out whenever she moves. What about Donna in Massachusetts? What about old Donna? Well, I think, you know, with Donna, you know, she's going to have all these grandkids and stuff. And, you know, I just think Donna just needs to bring joy to her family. You know, she just needs to be the picture of joy. So I think we're just going to reveal joy. What about Dorothy in Florida? Oh, my goodness. What about Miss Dorothy? Well, we're going to put Dorothy down there on the edge of Florida, you know, and then we're going to have this hurricane come through there. And Dorothy is going to show the world our miracles of faith. because she, as the storm is coming in, and it's all over the news that this is going to be a Category 5, and it's scaring all these people, and Miss Dorothy's just going to take her anointing oil, and she's just going to anoint her door, and she's just going to believe us for a miracle. So Dorothy stays, and then bam, here comes the old wolf blowing that wind, blowing the house down. Everybody else's lights are off. Everybody else's rooms are being flooded, all but Dorothy. The only apartment in this tower building that didn't get flooded. How does that happen? That is the expression of God. Do y'all get the point now? They sit around, they think about every one of you guys, about your life and what you're going to be in the future. And they do have a plan for you guys that is so miraculous you wouldn't even believe it. But the world is going to raise you and tell you this does not exist. This realm of faith, it doesn't exist. Everything has to be in this cookie cutter worldly plan of your life. You have to be a high power career. You have to have this house with a white picket fence. You have to be beautiful. So you have to carve yourself up to make you beautiful if you're not. You're going to have to be all educated. You're going to have all this education in order to be accepted. You know, you're going to hang around these certain people, and you're going to have to do this and go to this certain church that has all the power in the town. You know, you're going to have to in the way that the world describes what success is. It's totally different, much less your family's expectations of you. Your family, your community, all their expectations of success for you is totally different than what God has. Now, here's the difference. In God's realm of his identity for you, that whole thing is based upon faith. It is a raw, it's almost like you have to go back to the drawing board. It's where you just throw your hands up and say, God, I am done. I have made my life according to my environment and what I've ever known, but I am throwing my hands up in the air and I'm saying I am resting. I'm just going to stop my labors. I am going to just let you do what you're going to do. Take the pen and write my book. Finish my book, Lord, because I don't want to, you know, do another thing. I want you to do it all. And let the Lord take you to this resting place. You know, I encourage you that while I'm resting, you know, for the rest of this year, you rest. Because a lot of us, Bride, have been in a severe battle, a spiritual warfare battle since COVID began. Let me change that back up. COVID. CO for carbon. V for the app that's being inserted. And then ID because it's a part of the global ID. So whenever you talk about that, just don't say it as COVID. Say it as COVID. That's exactly what it is. Okay? So I encourage you for the rest of the year to just rest, you know. Let's gather together and do these prayer meetings in the morning and then just rest, you know, search him out, seek his word, pray, and see what God has to say about you, you know, for the rest of the year. Now let's go back to the scripture here. Verse 12, for the word of God is quick, powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. Uh-oh. And of the joints and marrow. Uh-oh. And is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Let me give you a good visual of this. Okay, the Lord revealed to me that we're all trees in his great garden. So, whenever you're reading the book, the Bible, it is from a tree, born out of a natural tree. Those seeds are the words that you're reading, okay? The seeds that we read from there are from heaven, okay? This is what God meant for us to know from heaven. These seeds that come off this Bible are now entering in to our temple. This is why it is so important to read the Word of God. Because these seeds come in and they begin to search out a matter. Look at now that you see it like that, let's read this again. For the Word of God is quick, powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword. Why is that? Because the truth that comes from the Word of God cuts. The truth cuts like a knife. Remember, I told you how it is when you give a prophetic word to somebody. And when it comes with authority, it like cuts through every lie of the devil in their life. And I told you the story about me going out with that attorney that time, what happened in New York when I was on the 2017 tour. And I had been on the bus stinking all day. It was like 95 degrees. You know, there's no bathrooms in New York City. I mean, if you're out, it is horrible trying to find a bathroom, you know. But anyway, so this lady, this minister said that she has a son that's an attorney in New York and he just found out he has cancer. And so she asked me if I would take time to minister to him. So I said, yes. I said, but, you know, he'll have to wait till I finish my mission. And I'll be done off my tour bus at 5 o'clock. So here he come. Now, I was hoping he'd be some old ugly looking guy, you know, and because I was single at this time. And here he come, and I mean, he looked like GQ magazine on a stick. He was so good looking. I was like, no, it can't be. I was like, what a farce. So he come over there and he goes, are you Dr. June Knight? And I said, yes, I am. But sir, forgive me. I stink. I feel terrible. It's been horrible. I mean, my feet were blistering, you guys. I mean, where I had walked all over New York, you know. It was just bad all the way around. He goes, oh, no worries, you know. So he said, let's go get us something to eat. So we go to this restaurant, you know, and being that I wasn't dating or anything, I was in totally ministry mode. Okay, so he comes around there, you know, and he pulls out this chair. So I'm thinking he's pulling it out for himself, you know. So I sit in another chair, and he looks at me, and he goes, okay. And then I realize, oh, no, he was pulling that chair out for me. I was like, sir, I'm so sorry. He goes, no worries, no worries. So he sat down. But I could tell, you know, that he was off put by me, you know, that I did look rough, let me tell you. So, he was sitting there talking just very generic talk. You could tell he's like, oh, I want to get out of here, whatnot. But the Spirit of God come on me. And I spoke it right there in the restaurant. I said, thus saith the Lord. And I said, blah, blah, blah. It was like I literally saw in the Spirit. Because he was a hard shell up until this point. I saw in the Spirit a sword come over the top of his head and go, bam! And knocked all that shell down. He started bawling. Oh, I mean, it cracked through all that facade he had going on. And he said, how did you know? I said, that's the Holy Spirit. This is why I love the Holy Spirit. And after that, we had the best night ever. He totally overlooked how I looked. because then he knew who I was, you know. And we had a really wonderful night. But the point that I was telling you is this scripture right here in verse 12. The word of God is quick, powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword. See, that truth that come forth out of my mouth shut down every lying devil that had been lying to that man. Bam! You know, cut through like a sharp two-edged sword, like bam! This is one thing that's really bothered me about Trump calling his social, and I can't believe any Christian went along with that. You know, him calling it Truth Social. That was such a smack in the Christian's face. And that's another thing, talking about a smack in the Christian's face. If I could show you guys what Elon just did, what Trump and Elon just did, I'm like, what a farce, mocking Christians. It's just so sad the way that they have mocked the Christians over the years, you know. Even with the Clay Clark, you know, farce of a tour, the way they'd act like clowns on them tours, all that was just a mockery towards Christians, you know. But anyways, going back to the word here, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. See, that's what happened to that man. The word of God divided. Also, when you read the word of God and that truth bomb, I call them truth bombs, when that thing hits your soul, it is completely dividing. It is exposing the devil and the lie. Like, I'll never forget when God revealed to me through the word that the rapture, the pre-trib rapture doctrine was false. That hit me. You talking about a truth bomb. Oh, man, because I had that prophet woman that I was living with that was telling me that that was a false doctrine. I just could never see it because I was one of these people, like, you know, which my mother told me. She said, if you ever leave that doctrine, I will disown you. And she meant it, because that's how much people believe in that doctrine, you know. How they instill it in these churches, like, this is a, if you don't believe that, you're not saved issue. This is a salvation issue. I mean, that's how much that doctrine means to people, you know. But one day I was reading the Bible, Matthew chapter 24. And it talked about how before Jesus comes, we're going to see the son of perdition. And that hit me so hard, like, what? We are going to see the Antichrist before he comes? No way. That would mean that the pre-trib rapture cannot be true. You know, and then I have this powwow with God. God, why has the church done this? And then I thought about it. Well, you know, years later, because the Lord did reveal that to me before 2020 when all this hit. Now that it's all said and done, we see why they did it, because they raised up the church of this generation to believe in this so much that when the beast was at their door and convincing them to participate in this agenda and had all the church behind him and everything else, that the church, because of that doctrine, would take it, would just accept something to enter their temple that does not belong there. That in their normal mind, if it was not for that doctrine, if it was not for, you know, Trump convincing everybody that he was legit, and if it was not for the church partnering with it, telling these people it's okay to take this thing, they wouldn't have done it. If it would have been Obama or Hillary would have come out and said, hey, you know, hey, we need you guys to take this thing, okay? You know, it's not going to cure it or nothing, but we just need you to take it because we just want you to, you know, and we're going to reward you. I mean, some of you people, we're even going to pay you for it. And then, you know, if you, when you die, you know, we're going to give your family money. It's going to be okay, people. You know, basically is what they done. And the church in the normal way would have never done that. But because of that doctrine and because of, which I'm going to talk about all this tomorrow night, this is why it has to be deleted right after. Because I'm going to punch the devil in the face with truth, you know. Okay, so let's continue. Neither is there, in verse 13, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight. But all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. In other words, God knows everything. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Jesus is the great high priest. I can't wait to study the tabernacle in Bible college. It is the most fascinating study. The tabernacle is so fascinating. Seeing the, okay, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet he did not sin. That's a powerful statement. So, final scripture. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. Why? That we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Isn't that beautiful? Grace, grace, wonderful grace, it's going to take to make it in the end. We've got to have that grace to make it in the end. Amen. All right, well, that's all I have for you. Let me stop. Well, first, let me pray for you, and then I'll stop this recording. But I do need to tell you, I cannot open the prayer lines today because, or tomorrow, because I have to get that speech ready, and it's going to take a whole lot of work, okay? Please forgive me, and we will open up the prayer lines on Wednesday. All right, Lord, we just thank you so much for our time together this morning. We thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing in the earth and for encouraging us this morning to rest in you, Lord, trusting in you, knowing that you have our temple, Lord, when we give our temple to you. And Lord, we know that as your bride, Lord, just as a husband and wife in the earth, her body is no longer her own. It is now her husband's. And Lord, it is the same to us with you. Our body is not our own. It is yours, Lord, to do with it what you will. And we pray, God, that you would help our spirits to enter into that rest, to give our bodies rest from the mission we've been on up until this point, as we are in transition of the next phase of our ministries, of our lives, the next phase of Christendom, and the battle that we have ahead, Lord. Please help us to rest. Help us to rest, Lord, our spirits, our mind, our body, and our soul. As we trust in you to do inside of us, Lord, what you're going to do, that's what needs to be the strengthened muscle right now, is our spirit man, to be able to endure what is coming, Lord. So we thank you and give you praise, Lord, because you're the only one that can give us rest. We just surrender today in Jesus' name. Amen.